spreading their message to millions. Spreading their message to millions. Kiss Talk. Talking Kiss. Kiss fans and Kiss podcast. With your host, Mike from Nashville. Tuck Watts. And special guest, it could even be you. Now here they are, your Kiss Talk crew. All right, welcome to the long lost podcast, Kiss Talk. We're back, finally back, and what's great is we've got the only guy that can tell you every band that Mark St. John was ever in. Tuck Watts, Tuck, what's going on?
Not much, man. It's good to be back. You know, we took some time off there, but we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But man, a lot of stuff going on in the world, Kiss. A bunch of stuff we need to talk about.
Absolutely. Because to patch this thing back together, basically we went absent around March 10th. So we're looking at about a 3-month absence, something along those lines, right?
That's right. So the reason why we took a break, and it was all me, by the way, a lot of times it's Mike is the reason we take time off. But no, this time was me. My mother had COPD. For those of you that don't know, that's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. We were told right after our last show in March that my mother would have 6 months to live at best. She made it a couple of months there. I took care of her pretty much every day. I pretty much moved in with her. And took care of her right up to the very end, and she passed away back in May. It was, you know, just one of those things. It was a tough situation, and there just was no time to worry about doing a show on Kiss or classic rock drops or really anything. It got to the point where I had very little time to do much anything other than work and care for her. So, but now, you know, she's in a better place. It was tough. You people that live without your mothers are superheroes. I said that 100 times on Facebook. Those of you that are friends with me on there and follow me there. And I certainly appreciate all the thoughts and prayers and visits and notes and texts and emails and everything that the podcasting nation sent out for me during that time. Those people that knew what was going on there. So I very much appreciated that. And, but man, that's all behind us now. I'm itching to get on with this episode of Kiss Talk, man.
Well, you're an amazing son. I want to comment that you were amazing to your mother, and I think that says a lot about your character, Tuck. And I'm certainly proud to have you as a friend. So,
well, thank you for that. You know, my father passed away a long time ago, and I say a long time ago, 20 years ago. And that affected me, like, you know, I think most when you have a parent pass away affects you. But man, there was something about Mom. It just really affected me a whole lot more. You know, she was the one that gave me life. I know that sort of sounds like a Gene Simmons thing, but you know, it's funny because the first day she went in the hospital with this, you know, we kind of knew things were getting bad, was the day Gene's mom died back in December. And I remember driving to the hospital thinking, are we going to be linked? You know, yeah. I mean, not that we would be linked in any way, but I just thought it was interesting that Jean, because there was some thought that day that she may not make it through that day. And that was in December. I can't remember the exact date. I want to say like December 6th, December 8th or something. And thinking, you know. There's another link to Kiss, but no, she made it through that. And then, you know, she fought hard. It's a terrible disease. I don't know how many of you people listening know much about COPD, but, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you guys and those of you that are caregivers to someone in your family who is ill. It just consumes all your thoughts, all your time, and it's a very difficult thing. And I have a newfound respect for people who have to do this on a long-term basis. It's very, very trying.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with your comparison with the Gene scenario. I think it even makes it maybe a little bit more special in the end anyway. And yes, I think, and I don't know if it's the same way for daughters, but certainly as a son, I think we love our moms, and I still have my father, but my mom lost her many years ago when I was 19 years old. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's something about moms, you know. I agree with you. But I'm with you. We will, we've put that behind us, and we will move forward and have a super happy Kiss Talk show.
So, yeah, because I need one. Let me tell you, I need something happy and positive. And
well, then we're going to turn this thing around right here. So, going back to March 10th, we were coming up on the end of the first leg,
which is another thing. You know, I didn't get to see any of the shows on the first leg because of, you know, my time demands at that time. And you know, everybody and their brother seemed to have a ticket. And, hey, can you come here? Can you go there? And I was like, I just can't do it. Couldn't work it out. But
yeah,
I've watched YouTube a lot. A lot of those videos have lots of views. Most of those are me.
So, yeah, you're right. And, you know, Tuck missed every Southern Kiss tour date that basically was going on around him. So, he has.
We even had tickets to Vegas, right? You went to Vegas.
Right, yeah.
And I, that was my mom's 80th birthday. I knew there was no way I could miss the last birthday.
Right.
So
yeah, so all those Southern dates, you know, happened around the first part of April. And so we wound up in Birmingham is the last date that I saw. And of course, they're off to Europe, and where they currently are as we record this show, they are just burning it up over there, which is just crazy. But so let's talk a little bit about the tour, and kind of wind up that first leg of the tour and where they are now. So we'll kind of go down that road for a minute. So I think, you know, as I look back, I was very fortunate to see 7 dates on the first leg of the tour, which is like a record for me on any tour. But every single show was phenomenal. There was no show that I would go, you know, I mean, it wasn't that great. I mean, and if I had to pick one, it would be the Vegas show. I felt like it lacked more a lack of energy, but I don't know if it was just because of how the seating was so tight there. I was out there with the Podcast Rock City guys, and I don't think I've ever been in an arena where the seats were so small and so next to each other that it affected the event. And that seemed to be the case out there. I don't know if they're using like 18-inch wide chairs or what, but it seemed very tight out there. But
well, you also, when you went out, you didn't have a whole lot of time either. I mean, you were out there, saw the show, and pretty much on the plane back.
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah, I flew out there. That, yeah,
when, that plays when, into it a little bit.
Maybe it does. But yeah, flew out there, basically went to the show, then went right back to the airport, slept in the airport for about 4 hours, got on a plane, and came back. But and I mean, not to, I've kind of done those kind of things before, and it really hasn't bothered me. But I, you know, I again, very fortunate. I got to be in seats all around the arena, but they were all fantastic seats, even though on the front row in a couple of shows. So it's tough when you're in the back of the arena on the first show and trying to say that it was just as good as the Atlanta or Nashville show where I was up front. So, but still, though, the performance of the band is what I'm kind of keying in on there. They were all fantastic. I mean, it covered, I don't know. There was no night where I felt like any one of the guys was not on target. Right. Sound was great. The only issue that I ever saw happen, I think, was in the Birmingham date, and Joe Polo's talked about this. We were at that show down there. Is the, if you want to call them the cherry pickers or whatever, they swung around, and it's like they didn't lower down for Tommy and Gene to get on, so they didn't get on them, and they just kind of went out there without them. And that was kind of interesting, I think. But other than that, I don't remember anything ever happening. I did notice on the front side of the tour, Sam the Serpent had some damage. The colored glass on his left wing had been broken out at some point early on the dates. And I noticed that he had been repaired before he went to Europe. So, but yeah, I would hate to be the person that, you know, swung that thing around and smashed the glass out of Sam's wing. Unless Gene did it or something with his guitar, and then it's like, oh, okay, you did it. It's not a problem.
You know, there's so many moving parts to that show. And, you know, for one thing not to work, I mean, yeah, it's a big deal when one thing like that doesn't work, but it's completely understandable considering how big those shows are.
Yep. You're right. I mean, there's so much going on this show that
it's almost overwhelming from what, you know, I've had other friends that have been to shows and given me reviews over the phone or whatever. And, and I talked to a friend the other day and he said, it's overwhelming. It's sensory overload in a lot of ways.
It is. And that's, I know at the Vegas show, I felt that way because it was like, there was so much going on. And what's great about seeing the show from the back of the arena, which I got to do, I don't know, two or three times. When I saw him in Philadelphia, I was in the very back of the arena, but I was in the risers. I wasn't on the floor like Vegas. I mean, literally, it is like, wait, this is going on over here, this is over here, but there's so much to see. This show is definitely one that, yeah, I get it. If you can be up front, it's a magical experience. But it's like if you go to another show and you sit towards the back, where you can see the entire production, it's like you're at another event. It's like, oh, yeah, I got to see Kiss. I mean, I got to see them on the close-up show, and I got to see them on the full show. And it's almost, I think I posted this somewhere in the mix there on our Facebook page, is that you need to see the show twice because it's like two different experiences. If you can have the opportunity to, and when I say close, I'm not talking about you have to be on the front row, but if you can be in the first 20 rows or equally in the risers at that, you know, location, I think you experience something different by having, you know, you got the guys within 50, 60 feet of you. It's different than it is when you're 100 yards back or whatever it feels like you are sometimes in the back of the arenas. Right. In some of these arenas, I mean, it's interesting having gone to arenas I'd never been to on this tour is at the different sizes and shapes. Not every arena is a rectangle or an oval. I mean, some of them are more round, and even being in the back, you're not that far away. Right. So,
but, well, and most of them built for basketball. So, and basketball, you know, very similar thing.
Yep.
You know, they're trying to keep all the fans right there on top of the court, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, even with a band on one end of the arena, it's you're close up, or you're not that terribly far away. Right. In a lot of these new arenas, some of those older arenas, you know, you would be a mile away.
Yep,
because that fan service wasn't there.
Right, and you know, I mean, I've been to stadium shows too, where it's kind of like, well, I'm in the same room with the band, but, you know, they're, from where I'm sitting, they're an inch and a half tall. So,
right.
And that does have an effect. But in any case, I mean, they're doing some of these giant outdoor stadiums shows in Europe right now, which is interesting, and we'll kind of talk about that aspect of the show eventually. But to kind of continue the topic, I mean, I mean, they swept through 45 dates, right? And most, I'm going to say most of the shows sold out. Now, we know that from Ace Frehley that Madison Square Garden didn't sell out because he wasn't there.
That's right.
No, but wait, it did sell out. Sorry, Ace, that was fake news. But I appreciate the effort to try to put yourself in the limelight. Now, I love Ace as much as anybody, but, you know, the fact that he went out early on and said, well, you know, I could add 20% to this tour or whatever, you know, it didn't happen that way, Ace. And they still sold out shows without you and Peter. And granted, if you and Peter had been there, they would have sold out, but they still sold out without you. So
it's hard to sell out more than a sellout, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I mean, if there's 15,000 seats and you sell all 15,000 with Tommy and Eric,
yep.
Having Ace and Peter in the band is not going to, I mean, maybe you add another show, but
right.
You know, but Ace also said, you know, he was the coolest guy in Kiss. So
that's what he said.
Yeah.
So
apparently Ace has become his biggest fan.
And I love him for it too. Yeah, I love him for it. And that's okay. Paul Stanley says that the end date is set for the end of the road tour. And obviously they already have in mind what they want to do. And there's been some discussion about it. And, of course, this show is about other podcasts, and I listen to every other Kiss podcast that I possibly can to try to even promote those shows and point out the ones that need to be listened to even more. But so my immediate thought on, okay, if I was guessing where the last show's going to be, I'm saying it's Yankee Stadium, because what one thing that Kiss has said, not that Kiss is always truthful, is that they will not return to a venue once they've played it. So I am assuming that Madison Square Garden is over, that is not something they're going to return to.
Right.
They're playing, what is it? The one in Brooklyn, the other arena. They're playing that
right.
One. That's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing was when I saw Kiss. I can't think of, for some reason, I can't think of it. I keep wanting to say Bartholomew, but that's wrong. Sorry, folks in Brooklyn. So I think it has to be, you know, whether it's a single show or whether it is one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, whatever it is, Paul says it's that time has been picked. So, but I'm guessing the last show is Yankee Stadium. And I am guessing because every time Paul gets asked about Ace and Peter and anybody else, he says, well, the possibility's there. You know, it's, the door's not been closed. So I'm guessing that we get, you know, Peter in the house to sing Beth. Ace plays Shock Me, whatever. Some of the discussion has been, well, is everybody in makeup? No, I don't think everybody's not in makeup at all. I think the four may be in makeup, but Ace comes out as is. Peter comes out as is. Bruce comes out, of course, as is.
You think, because the makeup has become such an issue, does Tommy go off stage and Ace come on?
Well,
or do you think they're on stage at the same time? Because Ace is saying he can't play on stage with somebody else in his makeup, which I kind of get that. I don't care about Tommy wearing the makeup as much as other people do.
It really doesn't
bother me at all.
I mean, sure, I'm a lifetime fan here. It did the first time I saw Eric and Tommy in the makeup, but I also recognize that there wouldn't be a Kiss today if it wasn't for Tommy Thayer. So if Tommy got that gig and they told him to put on the makeup, geez, I'm good with it. I still get to see Kiss today because of it. So anyway.
And I don't know that Kiss today is look, they're a quality live performance.
Yep.
I don't know that they are with Peter on drums.
And we don't know that. You know, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but the the whole idea that Ace couldn't play a whole show, blah, blah, blah. I mean, yes, he could. Now, the guys are playing basically, if you average it out, every other night. And could have Ace kept up that? I don't know. I mean, there were some times when he was doing some back-to-back dates last year where he got dehydrated and, you know, right. had some issues and things like that. So I don't really know whether he the stamina.
But again, I don't think Ace is the problem. I think the problem would be Peter.
I agree, but it was said about Ace that he couldn't play a whole show. Peter admittedly doesn't want to play a whole show. I don't think Peter wants to come back. Peter not once has said that. He did his final "I retire from music" in New York over a year and a half now. I think it's been maybe 2 years, losing track of that one. So, I mean, I don't think he wants it. Now, do I think that he would want to come out and sing Beth at the final show? I do think so. And I think Gigi would give him permission to do that. Yes, I threw that in there because that plays into another topic later. But, yeah, so back to the topic is Paul says the date's set. So do I think this tour goes on for 3 full years? No. I think we do get a final show in 2021 is what I would think. What about you?
Maybe springtime?
Yeah.
Or play through the summer, that summer, and then maybe sort of late summer.
And we all know it's going to be based on demand, right? I mean, as long as promoters are paying them to come out, they're going to keep going to a certain point.
Right. And so the first leg of the tour, $50 million.
Yep.
Quite a bit of demand.
Yep. Yeah, Gene was happy with the revenue so far, as he stated. I mean, the tour's a success. You know, I mean, nobody can deny that this thing's big. I mean, people are loving it. The test will be what happens in secondary markets in 2020. I know if you look at ticket sales on the second U.S. leg right now, there's still a lot of tickets. But
which that starts in August in North Carolina, I believe.
That's correct. But if you go back and you look at ticket sales for the first leg, it really did go in waves. I mean, I've always said Kiss has about 60,000 U.S. hardcore fans. And we could get into a whole discussion about how I came up with that number. But in my research I did about 4 or 5 years ago, that's where I find Kiss. So then you have all the people that want to go see them for the last time or want to take their kid to see them because they saw them when they were young or whatever, right? And that falls into the whole story of where Paul says, well, we have to play what we play because of the masses. We can't play to just the hardcore fans. Because if you look at 60,000 people spread over 45 shows, and then you take out, okay, what's the number of fans left that came to the shows? Who do you really want to appeal to? You want to probably appeal to the million fans minus the 60,000, right? I don't know. I'd have to total up. What is 45 shows? That's almost 500,000 people. So I think I get Paul's point of, well, we need to play to the 420,000 or 400. Well, my addition is horrible today. 440,000 that came to the show that maybe don't know Mr. Speed versus the 60,000 that want us to play Mr. Speed every night.
All right.
So,
so just some numbers here that I just pulled up. Sure. 42 shows on the first leg. All but 5 dates, according to Blabbermouth, grossed at least $1 million each, and all but 7 shows sold at least 10,000 tickets.
Okay.
I'd say that's a success.
I would.
And considering the dates that they've been playing in Europe, equally as successful. Have they played... You know, these shows in Russia were huge. Have they ever played big shows in Russia like that? I
didn't recall that. When they said they were in Russia, I kind of thought, well, when's the last time you even played Russia? I don't recall ever discussing them playing in Russia before. So I haven't looked into it to see if they ever did, but.
Right. I mean, they may have done that on the reunion tour at some point, but certainly didn't feel as big as these shows have felt.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'll have to check my Julian Gill book to see if they played Russia. So, Julian Gill, fantastic author. Check out all his books. Kiss FAQ podcast. If you don't listen to it, shame on you.
He's a good guy, too.
He is. So, changes, you know, as they went to Europe, we know we talk about the set list, and we talk about that, you know, they made the early change by adding Dr. Love into the set. Probably, I guess they made that change like seven shows in or something, where they put in Dr. Love.
Right.
What did they replace?
It was right around the Memphis show.
They took out Hide Your Heart. Yeah, took out Hide Your Heart, put in Dr. Love, and then when they went to Europe, they made the one change, which was a huge surprise to me. I couldn't believe that they pulled Do You Love Me out of the encore. As much as that is a crowd favorite song, they replaced it with Crazy Nights. Now, I'm not surprised that they added Crazy Nights into the European set, because that was a huge hit in much of that part of the world, but they pulled out Do You Love Me. Floored. That's the part that was surprising to me. I expected them to put Crazy Nights in the set, but I certainly did not expect them to take out Do You Love Me out of the encore and put in Crazy Nights right there. So, and I like Crazy Nights. I'm good with Crazy Nights being in there. So it'll be interesting to see when they bring it back to US, where they tweak the set there. Do they add that back in and just make it the same as it was, you know, or where they change that up? Very curious. What would you rather hear? I mean, because I'm assuming, Tuck, that you and I are going to either Cincinnati or St. Louis or somewhere to see Kiss this
I'm
fall.
Looking at some of these. I told you, I said, look, you know, once this is over, if we have to go to Russia to see them, we'll go to Russia. Of course, those dates are now over, and we didn't have to do that, thank goodness.
Yeah. So, and I've got Cincinnati and St. Louis both on my radar because they're within driving distance. We have friends.
There's a show in Little Rock as well.
There is. So there were four shows that I was actually looking at. I was looking at potentially flying to Denver because it's an easy flight. And then I looked at driving to Little Rock, St. Louis, and Cincinnati. I couldn't get to, you mentioned that the show or the tour kicked off in Charlotte, I think.
Well, it actually kicks off in Florida, Sunrise, Florida, and then Charlotte's the third show as I'm looking here.
All right, so that Charlotte date is, I think that's on my wife's birthday. So I wasn't going to venture into that one. I already was at the Atlanta show on my 30th wedding anniversary. So I do have the greatest wife ever. So, and she bought me the front row ticket to go there. So thank you, Tammy. I don't think I should intentionally miss her birthday to go see Kiss again.
So the dates run, let's see, the American dates, and I don't know, have they added everything on this leg? Do we anticipate they're going to add more dates? But those dates only run, those are just August and September, and then in November they go to Australia.
That's correct. And of course they've got the Kiss cruise over the Halloween week.
Right, which would so November 16th is their first show in Australia, so the Kiss cruise would end a few days prior to that, right?
Yeah, it's the 5th, so they have like a week and a half.
Right.
So, but what you're saying is October's basically open, right?
Yeah, they have no. I mean, the last, they've got the Los Angeles show at the Staples Center on September 20th, and then the next show is November 16th.
Okay. So it's my assumption that they'll use that time to rehearse for the cruise and take a break before they go on that last string of dates before the holidays. And then my My assumption is they hit Japan in the winter.
Right after the first part of the year.
Yeah, because I think that a couple that I believe one of those dates is leaked. I don't know off the top of my head if that's fact or rumor. So, so we know that, or we're assuming Asia is first part of 2020. And I think they try to swing back into the States probably in the summer to do those secondary markets, which I'm excited about. I mean, secondary markets for us is, you know, Knoxville and Chattanooga. And,
right. I mean, well, even Little Rock would probably be a secondary market.
Well, you would think.
What are the chances they go to China?
I think it's possible. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see this fall what the first leg of 2020 looks like. So I do like that it's kind of the way that they've done this is they've split it up. So they've, you know, it's kind of like they get a little pent-up demand again, right, in the States. So I mean, I'm ready to see them again, which for a lot of people are like, I get asked this, isn't it the same thing every time you go? Yeah, it's okay.
but in the, you know, in a Falcons game, the same thing every time you go? Well,
and that's always, I always want to throw sports analogies back at people. I said, you go see the Predators 250 times a year, and geez, you can't tell me that. I mean, I get it's a different game, but it kind of looks the same. Those three nights every week that you go see the Predators, right?
Right. It's the same concept every time. And then that's sort of the same way with, you know, with Kiss or whatever, or anybody. I mean, it's the same thing, but it's a live performance. Anything can happen.
Yep. So,
and you want to be there for those special little moments. You know,
you never,
I mean,
because
there's going to be a day, there's going to be a time where somebody goes to a show and Peter walks out at the end and sings Beth and nobody knew what was going to happen.
I agree with that. And you know, I mean, it's even smaller than that. I mean, seeing these shows, there were nights that obviously the band was more excited than they were at another show I saw. And, you know, Paul goes over to Gene and they just, I mean, they're laughing about something, right? I mean, because you don't know what they see, but you know that they're in a good mood. They're happy. They're getting along. I mean, there's always those rumors of like, oh, well, Paul and Gene, they aren't talking to each other or whatever. And whatever. I mean, stop it. But but you're right. I mean, you're going to go to a show and there's going to be a minute difference, right? I mean, I got to go to different shows. And Gene throws the blood towel at me and, you know, throws a water bottle at, you know, a guy a few rows away. I mean, it's just special moments that happen. And sometimes they happen to you. And sometimes they happen to a guy five people over and you're like, wow, that's cool. It's like I went to one of the shows and they actually gave away the broken guitar, which they don't do anymore. They charge you $3,000 for that. But Paul, evidently they hadn't sold it that night. So Paul hands it to Gene. Gene walks to the edge of the stage and just tosses it to the dude four people away from me. And I got a picture of it. And with it, I held it.
Right.
So, I mean, again, special moments. You got to go. Right. But anyway, yeah. So, Tuck and I are talking about getting Tuck to his first End of the Road show and who knows where it'll be. Those are the shows that I had already eyed a little bit because they were easy to get to. Tuck and I both have friends in the Ohio area as well as St. Louis. Got Jody Havnot, Podcast Rock City up in that area. And there's a couple other podcasts actually with folks nearby. So, we'll kind of figure out where we're going. Probably need to do that soon. Because obviously you're getting into the back to school arena.
Right. And yeah, that's coming up too, as well. So, but, Yeah, I'm going to, I've certainly, I'm prepared to get to one of these shows sooner rather than later. So,
yep.
So, but that's not, you know, the tour is just part of what's going on in the Kiss world, right? I mean, there's a ton more stuff. Yes. You got Ace with Origins 2. I think he's saying he recorded that, right?
Yep. So, like, you know, with the little issue of whatever happened, whether it was him or his girlfriend Rachel that posted the comments back to Paul and Gene or whatever, assuming Paul and Gene are not on the new Origins album. But anyway, so while I get kind of bored with cover albums, I'm happy that Ace is putting out something new. If it's covers albums, that's his new music, I'll take that. I mean, I bought 8 copies of the last one in different colors of vinyl and covers. So, hey, I'm looking forward to another album I can go buy 8 copies of.
So we don't know what's on this one yet, right?
Well, he threw out some, either was it artist or songs.
Oh, yeah. He's done a Jimi Hendrix song, he's saying. He's doing a Cream song, a Led Zeppelin song, and a song by the Animals, and a song by Paul Revere and the Raiders are the ones that I'm seeing here.
Yeah. So, and I think, am I understanding that'll be out in the fall? Seems like maybe that's the case.
I've got this pulled up here. I can look real quick to see if it says a date.
I think it just says tentatively due later this year.
Yeah, later this year.
Yeah. So looking forward to that, because, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. I love it. I'm going to go buy it. Because it's part of the experience for me is to get new Kiss albums. And
all right.
It's still a new Kiss album, the way I look at
it. There's a cover of a Kiss song on the new Eagles of Death Metal record.
Okay.
They cover God of Thunder.
All right.
They have a covers album. If you know Eagles of Death Metal, most people know them because they were the band. They were playing in, I think it was France, correct, and there was a terrorist attack at their show.
Yep.
And several people died, if I'm not mistaken, in that show.
That is correct.
They have a record out of cover albums. They've got God of Thunders on there, It's So Easy, the Guns N' Roses song. They have a medley of AC/DC songs, sung by Love and Rockets, Ramon, Steve Miller. Even they cover Careless Whisper by your favorite band, Wham.
Oh, yeah.
And so, wow, they're all over the place.
So
that's there.
So speaking of that, what was that mashup of the Kiss song and the George Michael song?
Oh, that's right.
If you haven't listened to that, I actually liked it, which is horrible of me to say. But when you listen, let's see, it's Never Without Your Love Gun. It's right. Kind of where it fell into. But I tell you, go on YouTube and listen to that stupid mashup, because you find yourself.
That guy, and I don't remember who that is offhand that does those, but he's done several that are. It's a very creative form of expression, whatever that those people that are doing that stuff are doing.
Yeah. So I kind of pulled it up here. So Never Without Your Love Gun. It's got 104,000. Views Bill McClintock at Macintosh Mashups is what it, or McClintock Mashups. Sorry, so he did this back in May, and it's a well done video and a mashup. So I can't believe that I'm taking this much time to actually talk about this, but crazy. Crazy entertaining. So I love, there's one comment on there that says, so this is how babies are made. Two songs into one, make a new baby. But anyway, crazy. Sorry I spent that much time on that, but it's worth listening to.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, where are we here? Okay, Ace. So I think we've already talked about the Ace feels like that him not being on the tour is a bad thing. He's got a new album coming out. He is out on the road, and he's coming back to the South again.
Right.
So one of
playing
the,
a prison.
Playing Brushing Mountain State Prison, which I never knew was a venue. My son, who does all kinds of rock crawling and outdoor, whatever you want to call it, in his buggy. There's a course up that way that he goes to. He's taking pictures just outside the prison there with all his guys riding around. But I didn't know that the old prison yard was a venue. Apparently it is. So they're doing that August 17th, I believe it is. And then they just announced the new Atlanta date.
Right.
August 16th. The Variety Playhouse. Yeah, at the Variety Playhouse where I saw him play last time in Atlanta. With, I think it was Enough's Enough opened. But that date is now August 16th. So if you're in the South, there are you two back-to-back ace dates. I am supposed to attend the August 17th date, work allowing. We'll see. But, yeah, so Ace is out there. And if you haven't seen Ace, I failed to mention that I saw him here in Nashville like a month ago. If you haven't seen Ace with the Talisman, as basically we're calling them now, which is the Gene Simmons Ace Frehley Band.
The rock and roll residency guys.
That's correct. So, Phil, Jeremy, Ryan, and Matt Starr on drums. Matt Starr on drums. What? It's amazing. And then after that, Judas Priest was here in Nashville, and I saw them all at the Judas Priest show. It was kind of cool. They were just in the audience watching Judas Priest. And Uriah Heep, which was also fantastic.
Yeah, I know this isn't a Uriah Heep podcast,
yep.
And there may be one. I'm not sure. And if there are, kudos to you guys.
Yep.
But Uriah Heep got a lot of praise on their performances, and a lot of people, I guess, shocked that first Uriah Heep is still around, but that there still is, you know, doing some quality stuff, right?
Man, I thought they were phenomenal, and I've never got to see Uriah Heep, so... Again, not to drag Uriah Heep out on the Kiss podcast, but they were phenomenal. Judas Priest played a set list that was more obscure than it was anything else. They did exactly what Kiss says you can't do. They basically played three hit songs at the end and as encores, and the rest of the show was all obscure to me, which I enjoyed seeing it because it was something different. But anyway, all right.
So back to Ace. He also had a video, right? The Mission to Mars video came out in the time that we were off.
Mission to Mars. So I think this is a fan-made video that was done for Ace. And, of course, I think Ace got behind it and said, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like Space Bear. The song is cool. It was not one of my favorites on the album initially, but I enjoy it with the video. And I like the Scooby-Doo. It kind of felt like a Scooby-Doo cartoon for me. I love the part where Ace is running towards you at the screen, which kind of felt more retro 60s, like, I don't know, what are some of those 60s cartoons that were kind of spacey?
Right.
But like anyway.
Banana Splits or something?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, if you haven't watched that video, you're probably not a Kiss fan. But... check out the Mission to Mars video. It's very cool. One thing that I want to note in there, because everybody was interested in looking at all the little Easter eggs that were in it, you know, that you could kind of tell that a Kiss fan or an Ace fan really put this thing together. I love the idea that the old Ace wings from Ace's original Kiss t-shirt when they were, before they really had costumes, are actually on Ace's soldiers. If you didn't notice that, that's kind of cool. His rock soldiers. Not that they refer to it that, but I'm referring to it as his rock soldiers. And then when he goes to the phone booth, I don't know how many people have done what I did, but it says on there to call 888-DIAL-FOR-ACE. And I did that.
And a little lady in Omaha answers the phone.
No. So it says, you would think that they checked this number out. I don't know, before they did that. But they didn't. So you get it and you go, if you are over 50, choose one. If you're under 50, choose two. So if you choose one, you get an offer for a free medical alert bracelet. And if you choose two, that you're not over 50, you get free membership in roadside assistance. So if you dial 1-888-DIAL-4-ACE, there you go. If you didn't dial it, that's what you're going to get. You certainly don't get anything Ace Frehley.
That's funny.
But and there's no telling how many phone calls that they probably have gotten. And it's like, yeah, we're paying a lot for this line. Anyway.
Maybe Ace has another gig. And that was just another way to drum up some business for his.
Well, I didn't go as far as to sign up for the roadside assistance and see if Ace shows up. So
get a flat tire somewhere outside of Santa Fe.
Yep. And here comes Ace in his spaceship. So,
oh, man.
Maybe.
So Paul's got new music coming out, Soul Station.
He says he has new music coming out. He actually he did a lot of recording dates in between what was going on with Kiss there when their little break before they went to Europe. I know that he actually, on a couple of times on their two-day breaks during the tour, he would show up saying, you know, we worked on this, we worked on that, sounds great, great band. And, of course, Eric Singer is the drummer in that band also. So Eric would have been working on those two, I assume, unless all those tracks are already done. And Paul's just working on vocals. But anyway, yeah, so Soul Station's coming out, and apparently a lot of Kiss fans are like, oh, man, that's horrible. Why can't you work on a Kiss album? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because you're going to do what you're passionate about. And if you're not passionate about putting out a Kiss album, I don't want you to put out a Kiss album because I don't want the last Kiss album to be something that was forced, right? If they ever do one, I want it to be decent. I wish Monster wasn't the last album, but it may be. And I'm in the minority, I know, when I say Monster is a great album. I listened to I think it was the Shout Out Loud Guys podcast the other day, and they were talking about how crappy Monster is and how great or how much better Sonic Boom is. That is inaccurate in my opinion.
Yeah, we did a show on both of those records,
and
I dig they're different. I get that they're lumped together, but they're pretty different records in a lot of different ways. But
I agree, Sonic Boom to me, they tried really hard to make that. Oh, this is the best album since Destroyer and Revenge. They tried to make it feel like a '70s Kiss album, and I don't think it was their best effort, where I felt like Monster was a natural album for them. It's what they wanted to do. Songs like Freak. I mean, that was the kind of stuff that I felt like that's what Paul wanted to say. He wasn't trying to make Destroyer 2. He wasn't trying to tie it back to something. He just put out a Kiss album. And I remember as they were making that album, you know, Paul had this rule that he told Gene there, but he goes, don't bring me anything that you've ever brought before. Everything you need to bring in for this album needs to be something that you came up with now. And I think that was, you know, whether it really happened that way or not, I think it showed because I felt like everything was kind of new and fresh. So, you know, the only problem I ever have with what they did on those two albums is having to make Tommy do a space song. I wish they just left that alone. I mean, I would rather Tommy submit a song that is a Tommy song instead of saying, hey, can you go write a space song? So, but that's the only thing I got issues with, really, either of those albums. But that's okay. I mean, if they feel like that's the formula for a Kiss album, you know, how many other times have we not agreed with what Paul believes? So,
Did you really want me to throw out a number? Because
So sorry, I went off on that tangent while we were trying to highlight the fact that we do have new Paul Stanley music coming, and it's some great Motown hits, and that band does sound phenomenal. I do believe that he'll take that band out at some point.
And you and I are neither one, you know, metal guys, you know, just metal all the time. Mm. We love good songs, and there's no doubt that those old Motown songs are amazing freaking songs.
Absolutely. And there's something about, it's like I said, when you're passionate about it, when you enjoy doing it, you and I both have the ability to play music. And when you're playing something that you like, you're more into it. It's going to be better. And I think when Paul's doing that stuff with Soul Station, he feels good about it, and it comes across well done.
And why shouldn't he do something that he... Look, Kiss is a...
They don't owe us anything.
I love my job. And you love your job, from all I can tell. But there are days where it's work.
Yeah.
Right?
There is. And I mean, I don't know. These guys don't owe me anything. I mean, if I'm 69 years old or 68... and I want to go do something that I normally don't do, and my fans don't want me to do that or whatever, that's not fair. I mean, first of all, I'm old. And I mean, while I look at, you know, Paul's dad is well into his 90s. So my assumption is
98, I think 99, something like that.
So my assumption is that both Paul and Gene are going to live into their 90s, because Gene's mother did. Paul's dad did. I think Paul's mother lived into her late 80s, if I'm not mistaken. So they certainly have the genes to live a long time. But why would you not? I mean, you get to that point. I look at it now. I'm 53, and I look at it like, well, there are things that I want to do. I mean, nobody knows how long we're going to live. But why wouldn't you want to do those things? Why should your fans dictate what you spend your time doing? So I the whole social media thing has opened up such a can of worms about what fans can say and do and all that kind of stuff. But man, people put so much energy into stupid crap.
What are the chances, and this is just throwing this out because I've really not spent a lot of time thinking about this. What are the chances Paul Stanley becomes Tony Bennett?
Well, you know, if that's what he wants to do,
a glorified lounge singer. I don't mean that negatively. I just mean he has this band and he plays these songs and he just becomes sort of a crooner, if you will.
Then, if that's what he wants to do, that's what he's going to excel at, you know. But if having to write another Kiss album under pressure. Because the people on Facebook, that 60,000 people that are diehard Kiss fans in the U.S. So y'all keep thinking about that because it makes sense the more and more you look at this. But I'm going to let 60,000 Facebook people yell at me and say, you've got to make another album because that shouldn't be the last Kiss album. Oh, man, I guess I should go do it. No, you shouldn't. Right. You do what you want to do. If you go make 10 Soul Station albums... okay, then do it well. That's all I ask. Just do that well. So anyway,
and we don't, you know, I don't have to like it.
No, you don't have to go buy it. You don't have to do anything. You can go back and listen to Monster 10 times or Love Gun 50 times. I don't care. But I'm tired of reading about you shouldn't be doing that. I get a life, people. All right.
And who knows? It might be. He might need to do the Soul Station stuff so that once they're done with the Kiss tour, they can do another Kiss record. I mean, maybe. You don't know.
However it works. And if they do another Kiss album, they don't have to go tour it. They're retiring from touring. So, and not to say that... my assumption is that they won't play another date after the final one. But it's Kiss. And we all know that... Paul and Gene don't always tell the truth. They change their mind, and that's okay. So, and they may play a one-off show. You never know what they're going to do, but
or there may be a special thing and they show up,
right?
A charity event or
Honda. Honda pays them $500,000 to play their corporate gig.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But so after Kiss, I can see Paul doing the lounge singer thing. I can see Gene doing the thing he was doing with the Gene Simmons band there, a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Where he's playing shows on the weekends in various cities and doing that well.
I could definitely see Gene doing the same thing, as what he was doing.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, unless Gene gets an acting job or gets to produce horror movies or something of that nature, that's what I see Gene kind of doing. We'll call this the last piece of Paul news and probably in this episode, but Paul's new book, Backstage Pass.
11,000 copies sold first week.
I read it. I actually listened to it. I did the audio version, which Paul does not read this time, which seems weird because I didn't prepare myself for that. I just downloaded it and it starts playing. I'm like, oh man, it's not Paul. I mean, he kind of spoiled me by reading his last book. But
and those are kind of weird when you hear somebody else reading it because it makes you feel like, I'm a 50-year-old child.
Yeah. So the content of the book... and this is one of those times where you kind of go, look, I don't have to like everything they do. To me, it was, I don't know. Was it meant to be a motivational book? Yes, he says it was. Was it meant to have some historical value? Yeah, he kind of said it was. Man, for me, Backstage Pass was not something that I will revisit. I have revisited the first album, and I don't know if it's because Paul's reading it or not.
The
first book. I can go back and listen to that, and there are times that I want to go back and hear what he said again. But this book, I don't know that I'll revisit it. It fell way short for me. So, yes.
Well, Gene's done some books that are motivational type business,
and those are great for fourth graders. There's no doubt that any fourth or fifth grader that reads those will get something out of them.
Make your lemonade stand sales quadruple.
Because for anybody that wants to be a hater or anything of that nature, yes, I have read those. I'm not just commenting about my thoughts about Gene selling something else. I bought them. I read them. And I'm not a hater, but I mean, we all have an opinion. We all have the option to disagree or dislike. And that's basically all I say about it. I don't say that Paul's stupid for putting out a second book like this. I didn't say that. I don't say that Gene's an idiot for putting out a self-help book that was somewhat shallow. But I mean, there are people that are reading that stuff and love it, and I think that's great. I'm happy for everybody. I'm happy that Paul put out a second book. I would rather him have put out one and him get that stuff off his chest, I guess, and want to say it than him not having doing it and still wanting to do it. So,
But, it's the same thing. Guys our age, a lot of times when we're around and we're just sitting around talking and I hear this all the time and I've probably said it 100 times myself, thank goodness we didn't have cell phones when we were kids because we would have gotten so much trouble, right?
Sure.
You hear that, right?
Yep, that's true.
If we were in Gene's position, who knows the dumb stuff we would do?
Well, and there's truth to that. And, sometimes both of these men show their age, as all of us do. I mean, to 20-year-olds, they look at me and they go, yeah, I can tell you're an old 50-year-old guy because you say things and do things like an old 50-year-old guy would. And I look at Gene and Paul and I go, yeah, you guys say and do things like a 70-year-old would, because that's your perspective. And that's how we age and that's how we act and all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. So, but, I simply have an opinion about that stuff. And if it's great, I say it's great. If it didn't appeal to me, it didn't appeal to me. And I don't expect you to like my opinion or agree with it. I expect you to have your own. So I'm not out here telling everybody not to go read Paul's last book. If you hadn't read it yet, go read it. It's got some cool stuff in it. It just, in comparison for me, it was not as good as the first one. As simple as that. So, but have you had a chance to read that book yet or listen to it?
No.
You've been busy. So I need to get that in front of you so that you can listen to it. But I think, we've kind of hit our hour. So I'm trying to keep our episodes limited
All right, before we go, we've got to, even if it's just for a second, we've got to talk about a few things. And we'll talk about these in depth on a later show. But the whole Vinny thing has been going on. Everybody knows that, right?
Why don't we use it as a teaser? And we'll catch it up on the next one.
That's fine. But we need to at least acknowledge that we understand the Vinny thing is going on and it's out there,
right?
And those sorts of things. There was a couple of more things I'd written down. Let me see here. Paul's brought up this whole thing about the band can continue without any more members, without any original members.
All right,
that's out there.
It is.
I'm trying to look. The whole, the lip sync thing blew up there for a while
and went away just as quick.
Yeah, some people were, defending the band. Some people not defending the band or whatever. Paul actually says he stands by his vocal performance on the first leg of this tour. Oh, there's another book, The Hottest Band in the Land, the merchandise book. I'm not sure who's in charge of that. Not a band.
We'll jump on that on the next episode. I got it on my list.
Yeah, that's not a band produced. That's a...
It is officially licensed.
It is officially. Okay.
Yep.
So that's out there. Bruce Kulick was in Atlanta at a guitar show here recently. There's some videos online if you didn't know about that are pretty cool. So we've still got tons of stuff to talk about, man.
We do. And we appreciate everybody listening to us. We appreciate you waiting on us to come back. I hope you love us. Tell us whether you love us. Tell us what you like about what we're doing, what you don't like, because we're probably going to keep doing whatever it is we do anyway. So as far as podcasts that you need to go check out, there have been some good ones the last 3 months too. Kudos to Podcast Rock City, Three Sides of the Coin, Kiss FAQ, The Kiss Room, Podkist, even the Shout Out Loud guys. And I'll address that in another podcast because I want to go down a little avenue there about them. But in any case, if I left out somebody, man, I'm sorry. But thank you for listening. Welcome back, Tuck. And get ready for the next leg of the tour because we're going to keep talking about that. And Tuck and I will see you out there somewhere.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Take care.
Kiss Talk is an Into Rock podcast production.